This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Happy Thursday, everybody. Week 2 of the NFL starts today.
Hum, babe.
Are you drinking a beer? I heard something crack over there. Are you drinking beers?
Did I not kill the mic fast enough?
You drinking beers over there? That was loud.
Can I have one?
No. Yeah. All right. There is a beer hat in here.
Yeah, there is a beer hat.
We got a beer hat.
I think Suk was working on that the other day.
Yeah, no, it came with beers.
He was working on it? Like, yeah. He built that?
No.
No, like he was using it.
Like working on them straws.
Yeah.
Hells yeah.
Pub Brew gave him a
the beer hat setup. Is such a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But far as the vehicle to get beer to your belly.
I prefer my beer to not taste like plastic tubing.
Yeah.
No, can that, fix that? You can't tilt your head.
Well, that too, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They do have these. They had these things that were, you used to see them in like all the convenience stores, right? Where it was like a lid for a can. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
it's like a little snap lid that you would just put right on the top of a can so it could be like a resealable, you know, container, like one of the plastic ones.
Yes, used to find those in the convenience stores, or you can still find them in my parents' refrigerator.
Oh, so they have them.
Yes.
They're the ones holding on to those.
Yeah.
I thought
my mom holds on to her Diet Coke like grim death.
I thought those were a great idea back then. Maybe that is the answer to the beer hat problem of not being able to tilt your head.
See, but then you got to take the straws out to put the cap on.
Well, no, you just got to drill a little hole in there. You got to just drill a hole.
Fair enough.
You know, you go to the Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of the, you drill a hole, maybe get a little bit of like a buffer, like a gasket that you put in there so there it doesn't, you don't get
so
any
seepage.
So it's
not sliding around.
Now we're entering like just build a beer bong.
Well, beer bong is a very efficient way to drink beer.
So I've heard.
I may or may not have engineered a great one that required a trip to Home Depot and a little bit of lever action.
Well, I think that's...
Oh, yeah. We used to use
I called that college, where you had...
The old garden hose attachment.
Yeah, you'd have
we went like full metal.
You'd have a spigot on it. I had a two-story one that we built in college where you would... Because there was a house that had a landing. And so...
Ooh.
Yeah, and it like overlook first to second floor. So you could go upstairs and you could have... It had two hoses on it. So you could have races.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But binge drinking, not an issue in college.
No.
Goodness gracious.
And by no means were we beer bonging 40s of OE either. That never happened.
I am proud to say I never did that.
No, how? How did you avoid that at Southern?
I did not do that. Because I just would say no.
Yeah, it sounds like a coward.
No. No. That was one that I would just be like, I'm not going to...
They didn't feel very good afterward, trust
me. They released
You just throw up like... It's like, hey, you going to be real, bro? You going to beer bong this IPA? No, I'm not.
No,
that's
not an IPA.
I am not going to do.
I'll stick with the 40s of OE over the IPAs.
Hit you harder. Yeah, I don't care.
You would also help me harder? A couple of shots of vodka.
Yeah, goodness gracious. I didn't go down that road. No 40 beer bonging for me. You know? I beer bonged responsibly. Is that a thing?
It is now.
Is that a thing?
Did you see they released the 10 drunkest counties in the country?
Oh, no. All of them Wisconsin?
All of them Wisconsin.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All of them Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and Minnesota. Those
Not even in all 10 Wisconsin.
All 10 Wisconsin?
All 10 Wisconsin. I was actually surprised because when I was in Grand Forks, Forks was like number 3 in the country. So they're slacking off.
Times are changing.
You would think with a military base and a university, nothing could come close.
No.
Because
Wisconsin. But may I introduce you to
that's what I mean. Like
spotted cow.
Like, I want to put this in perspective. Military members and a college that specializes in hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did not crack the top 10. Yeah. That is the level of drinking you're dealing with in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's insane.
Oh, my gosh. Whatever the Vancouver Four text line, whatever Meringue built, it didn't top OSU rugby team's 5-gallon water cooler bottle.
You know, the big
the Gatorade jug. Yeah. Turned into a 5-spigot beer bong that they'd kill kegs in under 10 minutes with at Shasta. Yeah. Madness.
Wow.
That's, now, Lake Shasta. Oh. Let's talk about Lake Shasta Memorial Day weekend.
Buddy.
That was an S show.
That's right. That's a short trip for you guys.
Yeah.
What is that? An hour? Hour and a half?
It's about an hour and 15.
Yeah, I say that's a short trip.
Yeah. Not a long trip.
No.
But recovery time, even in college, where you bounce back immediately. That was like a 2-dayer after you'd go to Shasta. And man, those were wild times. I mean, and like, it's reckless. It's reckless.
Well, yeah.
You know, people die down there doing that. And that's not good.
No.
But the fun times, boy.
Yes. The highs are high and the lows are low.
It is a absolute S show.
Oh, I love Shasta. I had a family friend that I grew up with in L.A. that moved to Redding. And anytime we would go up to Redding, we'd know, like, oh, we're going to go spend, like, 4 days at Shasta.
Yeah.
And that was, like, those were some of my favorite moments, as a young man.
Lake Shasta is awesome. It's great.
Especially now the water's back.
Yeah, the last couple of years they've had water. And yeah. That's always very important.
Yeah,
to
not
have.
Having it be down, like, I don't know, 60 feet.
Yeah. Boy.
Those pictures are terrifying. Like when it got really low, mm-hmm. It was like you couldn't even launch the houseboats. Like it was away from the dock. It was crazy.
No. We did have, because renting the houseboat is one of those college traditions. You go down to Shasta, you rent the houseboat, you go back. 1 year, we had a guy who rented the houseboat, and all of, like, on the island that everybody parks their houseboats at, it's just like clay, mud, grossness. He went to go check that thing back in, and they were like, absolutely not.
Nope. Clean that off.
You are cleaning this houseboat. Yeah. We do cleaning, and we have an expectation. Absolutely not. And he was like, you're right. And about 5 guys just cleaned. I was not on that boat. I was gone by then, long gone by then. Not my boat, not my problem. 5 guys spent like hours cleaning this to the point where they're like, you're still not getting your deposit back, but you're not going to be hit with anything more.
Right.
Like that clay just tracks everywhere. It rained that year down there.
Oof.
So it was even worse. Like, it was just nasty.
See, we just went. I had never been, but we went for the first time a couple years ago, me and the wife and the 2 kids. And, I'll tell you what. It's – you want to talk about somebody that has some anxiety issues, driving a houseboat around and trying to moor that thing again and back into the moorage. And yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, man.
Houseboats are so great, though. Like,
worry about parking that thing on the banks, too, with the spikes in the sand.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, God, are we floating?
Yeah. You don't want to. You don't want to.
No.
Houseboats are fantastic, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool to like Lake Shasta or, you know, like Lake Billy Chinook.
Billy Chinook, yeah.
Yeah, you do the houseboat thing.
Billy Chinook, it's like it's...
underrated.
Yeah, it's kind of a mud hole, though.
I believe every lake could qualify as a mud hole.
But I mean, like, Shasta, like... Well, I should clarify this. Shasta, years ago, when it was higher up... The water looked nicer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But like,
and that was the thing too. Yeah, when we were there, it was low.
Yeah, it was the same. Yeah. When the water's low,
like they moved the entire moorage operation down.
Yeah, yeah. No, at Chinook or at Shasta.
At Shasta.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like they got so bad a couple years ago. I want to say during COVID, they had to shut it down.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Like they couldn't even move it down any further. I'm actually, I just pulled up the website and it's like the water level is double what it was during COVID.
Woof.
Yeah, it's crazy what was happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they said. COVID took the water away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And windmills.
In windmills.
Yeah. Well, windmills kill all the birds.
Birds aren't real.
Exactly.
You know what's... this is such a random thing, and if you live in Newburgh or drive through Newburgh, you know what I'm talking about. When you're leaving Newburgh and heading towards Sherwood, at the very top of the hill, there are three windmills.
Okay.
I have lived out there now for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have never once seen any of those windmills on. Not once.
Mm.
Never.
They're nocturnal.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Like owls.
Mm-hmm.
They're hibernating.
Yeah, they energy the night.
I feel like somebody got them as a tax write-off, and they're like, all right, we're good. Shut it down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because like they're just sitting there at the top of the hill. Because if you're driving, you can't not notice them. Because they're literally at the very top of the hill because windmill.
Yeah.
And they're
That's
never.
What they do.
Yeah, and they're never on. And I'm like,
hmm.
Is that. Like, why? Why, yeah. why have this?
Well, and I'll tell you what, our last trip to Idaho a few weeks ago, too, we passed by on 84. There was a couple of the trucks put together hauling one of the windmill blades. Those are enormous.
They are huge, dude.
They are huge. And you
don't
have
realize,
no idea until you get right up next to it.
You don't realize how big those things are.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Whoa. Hey, we got Shannon Sharp news today.
Yeah,
we do.
I do have one windmill story. We were in December a few years back. We were heading to go and play in a state championship game in Hermiston.
Mm.
So we stopped at Hood River Valley High School.
Gotcha.
To do a walkthrough on the way there.
They have one on the windmill blade there, 900 yards long.
They have a small windmill like back behind their stadium. Mm-hmm. Like you can see it right there. And this is, mind you, this is December, and I think it was like 19 degrees that day for like the game. Like it was a very cold day, and the windmill is blowing. And one of our quarterbacks comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, coach, why do they have a fan on? It's really cold."
No. No.
One of my favorite stories
of all
time. An
outdoor fan?
Uh-huh. It was one of my favorite stories of all time.
What a sweet summer child.
And you guys took too many hits to the head, man.
No. It was one of my...
What position?
He was a quarterback.
Okay.
He was a quarterback.
Oh, eat a lot of paint chips as
we
a
had
child?
We had a lot of them that year. I will not name names. But I just looked at him and I said, "Say that again?" And then he just gave me like this look like, oh no, I messed up.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
You want to try again?
Oh, good Lord.
He's the best.
Oh.
He's the
Why
best.
Is the fan on?
And he is one of those kids that I love and I will love forever because he was one of the funniest kids ever, both intentionally,
I'll say unintentionally.
And unintentionally.
Unintentionally funny kids are some of my favorite.
Yeah. We had to go, wait a minute.
It's like, can we let you go into public life?
Let me tell you about wind energy. all right. Well, on that note. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Well, wait, here on the Vancouver Ford text line, FYI, wind turbines make energy, windmills make flour.
Okay, yeah.
How does it they go about making daisies and tulips and stuff?
Making a Dutch reference. Wooden shoes.
It's flour.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
It's the other flour.
Yep, we got you. Still got you, Rust.
Doesn't mean I hate you any less.
All right. Week 2 of the NFL kicks off tonight. Thursday Night Football down in Miami. Tua and the Dolphins taking on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. We will have our NFL picks coming up at 2 o'clock today. Hot week for the picks for this show. Hot week with the picks.
Do we all do well?
Yeah, we all did well. We all did well this past week in our NFL picks, so let's try to ride it over to week number 2.
I'm feeling good about my picks this week, which means I'm going to fly right into the side of the mountain.
Great. Yeah. That's exactly what we wanted to hear.
Yeah.
You got some saucy lines. Some saucy lines.
Yeah, I have another picks pool, and I was looking at these, and I went, I don't like these.
Oh, yeah. We have Patrick Mahomes being a really cool dude. We will talk Apple Cup and Civil War today.
Mm.
But where we got to start this bad boy off, The two-pack turns into the six-pack for the Pac-12.
Hmm.
Follow that. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports surprised many last night when he had a report that said the Pac-12 is expected to expand by four to include Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State out of the Mountain West.
The Pac-12 is dead. Long live the Pac-12. That was quick.
Yeah. This morning, the Pac-12 and member schools acknowledged the fact that that report, in fact, true by Ross Dellinger, and the state schools will all be joining up together. This is probably the weirdest conference ever when you think of it. They have six schools, all of them
state schools.
State schools. I don't know which ones that they can add on top of this. You're going to go after Utah State, New Mexico State, Texas State.
San Jose State.
San Jose State.
Ooh, all those suck.
Sac State.
Yeah. Nah, big go to the big sky. Montana State. Hey, well, let's not stop there.
Right?
Montana State's probably the best of those teams.
Let's go rope in Portland State.
Go ahead. Go get Portland State. No, four schools added to the Pac-12, and it's going to come at quite the expense. Each one of those schools has a $17 million exit fee from the Mountain West Conference. In addition to that, according to Dellinger's reporting, there is, and we talked about this at the time, when the Pac-12 and Mountain West went into a scheduling agreement with one another, it was, hey, you poach any of our schools, you got to pay an additional $10 to $12 million. If you're doing the math on that, you're looking at between like $27 to $29 million for those schools to join up in the Pac-12.
Which, when you start looking at the purse strings, pretty much exhausts what the Pac-12, which is Oregon State and Washington State, what they're going to get from the bowl payouts, from the NCAA basketball, and from the last payouts that were due to the Pac-12. It is a desperation play.
But that is where the Pac-12 is at right now.
100%.
I think that it tells us a few things right now. It tells us what Oregon State and Washington State were feeling after conversations with the Big 12, the ACC, and a far lesser extent, the Big 10 and the SEC, and the feedback that they got was not what they were looking for. They were looking for a seat at the big boy table. Mm-hmm. We all knew that would be the case. The Pac-12 is in a precarious situation because, as we talked about over the summer, in the spring, the autonomous five status of the Pac-12 had been stripped away. So you are essentially creating a new group of five conference.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, what we thought would happen at the very beginning of this, and I was on this is what I thought the eventual outcome would be initially when the Pac-12 dissolved and we knew 10 teams were leaving, is slowly but surely the brand of the Pac-12 would start peeling off Mountain West schools. And that's how the Pac-12 survives
in name alone.
And I thought after all of the twists and turns that this thing took, it did look more and more like now the best course of action because of the $10 to $12 million that you're having to pay out when you peel schools out of the Mountain West due to their scheduling agreement. It looked like, well, maybe they're just going to join up with the Mountain West if they don't get into the Big 12 or the ACC.
The interesting thing here is, do they, with the pending lawsuit against the ACC and the possible dissolution of the ACC, do we see Stanford Cal joining this group?
Well,
I feel like that's probably the most likely outcome.
I think the plan feels like what they're hoping for and expecting is that the ACC does blow up.
Yeah.
At that point, Stanford and Cal return to out west.
They get released.
They play in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Because here's where they need to go from here. They need to get to eight teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be at eight in order to be considered in a FBS conference.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they're sitting at six. The four that they did get are the four most valuable brands in the Mountain West on the surface. I might have looked at UNLV over Colorado State or Fresno State.
I would have taken UNLV or Air Force over Colorado State.
But that's not the way that this worked out right now. So you're sitting at six. You're hoping that if you're expecting slash hoping that the ACC dissolves and Stanford and Cal do come back out west, then that gets you to eight.
Yes.
At that point, you go down the road of, all right, now do we peel off SMU, which we know that they want to be at the big boys' table. They're paying their own way in the ACC.
So you don't have to really worry about them.
And you would be sweetening the pot for them. They're going to fight to get into the Big 12 at all costs, but they've been turned away at every turn of Big 12
and also, membership. If they look at it, I think if they're smart, they look at that and they go, it's Boise State. Like, that's really all you're competing with as far as the outsiders, so to speak, as far as teams that have had cachet at the top for any consistent period of time in that group.
Yeah, outside of Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, and Washington State, which they get a leg up because of
the history.
Their funding that they've had previously. They're not playing catch up to anybody else.
But my point being, if you're going to join a conference, that to me makes the most sense for them, simply because there's an opening there for them if they're going to put all this money into it, if they want to compete at the top. If you go to the Big 12, you're going to be what? You're going to have to fight through Utah. You're going to have to fight through.
Well, they're not worried about that because they just want a seat at that table.
Sure.
That's what they, ever since the Southwest Conference went away, they've wanted to get back to big time football. And they could be left without a home if the ACC blows up again, and out a lot of money that their boosters have ponied up to make sure they survive in the ACC without television revenue. Remember, they joined the ACC by saying, we don't want any of your TV money
for
the first, I think, 5 years or 3 to 5 years or something. And then we'll start getting our shares of TV money. But if the ACC starts dissolving, and you start seeing if Florida State and Clemson win their lawsuits, they get out, and then teams start jumping ship.
The
left tea leaves
and right. Here seem to kind of predict that this lawsuit is going to go on.
Yeah, but back to if you peel off SMU, you go and you get UNLV, then you're at a 10-team conference at that point, and it's more regionalized, and it feels a little bit better
because you're not going to be able to peel off any of the Big 12 teams. And then there's no reason for them
God,
to leave.
No, they wouldn't want to leave at all. But here's where the big one comes into play is, all right, so if Clemson and Florida State get their way, they get out of the ACC. If the ACC survives, what does the Pac-12 do then? Are you then looking at Memphis and Tulane?
Yeah.
But
independent.
Does that make sense for them?
No.
If you're trying to get to 8? Because if you join the Pac-12, yeah, sure, you're joining a conference, but is it better than the American? It's not going to get you autonomous 5 status. It's not going to get you an automatic bid to a playoff, that conference, with 8 teams, if you're adding those two.
You have to get to 10 for the automatic, right?
No, you have to be voted in. You have to get to 8 in order just to be an FBS conference. It doesn't matter how many. I think once you're an FBS conference, then it comes into, all right, are we going to give you an automatic bid? The College Football Playoff Committee then votes on that. That doesn't really make sense because, yeah, sure, you may be making a lateral move competitive-wise and maybe even a step backwards competitive-wise because of the fact that if you run the table in the American, you're going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And you may make your path a little bit harder. And then every other sport is very difficult to then compete in because your travel going from Memphis to Tulane.
You got a 4-hour trip back and forth.
And so if the ACC survives, what does the Pac-12 do?
And that's the thing. I think the tea leaves here seem to indicate that the ACC might be the one up for dissolution. And I almost wonder, as much as there's a quote-unquote vigorous fight in the lawsuit that's pending here, I think ESPN wants it to dissolve. Even though they have the rights under control for that long, I think they're looking at that and going, the value of that product the second those teams leave is so, so toxic that they want it to fall apart.
Oof.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, in the sense of, like, if Clemson and Florida State, they win and they're out, the ACC all of a sudden becomes incredibly devalued.
Yeah.
And the money that they have, that's money tied up for another 13 years. And do they want that?
Yeah.
And I just, with the restructuring and what has happened at ESPN, ABC, Disney, and how they have done things financially, I find it very hard to believe that they want to be in that business if that ends up happening. So that's what I wonder if... Look, every bit of restructuring we have seen that has been quote unquote preemptive,
yeah,
has been because they knew what was coming. And I just have a reeling suspicion that they know that behind the scenes that the ACC is going under.
Boy. Well, we'll see. And I went and I looked this up. The ACC, the SMU, they are getting a tiny bit of money from the ACC. It's not even close to being like 30%. There's a texture says 30% share. It's like peanuts,
yeah,
that they're getting right
their,
now.
Their donors are covering basically everything.
Yeah, they're getting like a $5 million bump from the college football playoff.
Which is not part of the conference.
$200 million from their boosters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big chunk of cash.
Yeah, that oil money's real.
But this herein lies the big issue for Oregon State, Washington State, the fan base. Where do you guys feel right now with this move? Getting,
we need to pull this.
Holding on to the survival of the Pac-12. It comes at the detriment of the Mountain West Conference, which Oregon State, Washington State, you've been in those shoes too. I mean, it's a far lesser degree because none of those schools are losing their Power 5 status. But where are we feeling at with the move, the holding of the Pac-12 together in the future of both Oregon State and Washington State? We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. This text says, this news is exactly why they should not be playing Oregon anymore. If you have to be group of five, you need to focus on running the table and to the future. Oregon State and Washington State adding four members of the Mountain West, Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State. The first of what will be what many are assuming are several moves around conference realignment. That's going to be happening again. And so you look at this and you say, is this the best move for the conference? Is this the right direction for Oregon State and Washington State to be moving in?
It's the musical chairs, and you've got to find a seat. It doesn't matter if the seat is the king seat or if it's the jester's seat. You just need a seat.
And here's my apprehension about all of this. What the Pac-12 made this move based on, mm-hmm, is, on the surface, it's hoping another conference falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because without another conference, the ACC, falling apart because the Big 12 has solidified itself, the Big 12 and or the Big 10 and SEC have obviously, they're the powers.
Yes.
There are three that are stable and they're not going away. You're hoping the ACC falls apart and you can get a couple of pieces from that to make yourself relevant as a power conference again. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we know from the history of the Pac-12 is that hoping has never worked out for the conference.
Well, here's, I think if you're hoping on hope, you have a commissioner this time that maybe has a better understanding of the landscape. You have administrators at your schools who can no longer be naive about the situation. I mean, you can, sure. If you are.
I mean, Kirk Schultz is still the president at Washington State.
Again, but I'm saying they've seen it up close. What happened?
Yeah.
That, oh, we won't get left behind. Oh, the states will take care of us. Oh, no. You have to do what you need to do. You need to be proactive. And maybe it is too late. Maybe it is. But I don't think you make this move and exhaust your resources right now, unless you have a pretty good understanding and you have discussed with legal teams and people in the industry that believe that there is a better than probably 70% chance that the ACC is going under.
Now, isn't that how the conference kind of operated before, though, too? It's like, we're like, there's no way you do this without knowing, and they were.
Well, again.
And that's what I'm saying is that the track record, surface, you sit there and you're like, yeah, this could make sense. You could stick the landing on all of it.
The difference being this time is this is a proactive move.
Yeah.
This is the first proactive move we have seen them really do.
Well, building the Pac-12 network was. It was, this is going to be the future of it. We control all of our rights. We know, you know, this is going to be the future and where the landscape is heading. And boy, did that miss the mark.
Oof. Yeah, they saw the Texas and Big Ten networks and said, we can do that too. It's like, well, no, you only have two brands.
You run a conference. You don't run a network.
Yeah.
That was the big one. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there and like, we're getting texts on the Vancouver Ford text line, you know, hey, Cal and Stanford might be back. Might. And that's a big question mark right there is they might be back. And honestly, might is the key word there.
Honestly, because the way the news dropped last night, I would be very surprised if Cal and Stanford did not end up back. Maybe I'm giving the Pac-12 too much credence here, that they have learned from their mistakes. Because if they are doing this without that background, they are pissing money into the wind.
Sounds familiar.
Again, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to think they have learned. You have to. You have to think they have learned.
This is like looking at the couple across the street where she's like a 6 and he's about a 4.5, maybe a 5. I'm going, boy, I really hope something goes wrong there and they get divorced. I'd love to make a run at that 6.
It's just, you have to believe that. Otherwise, that you have leadership at Oregon State and Washington State that are so inept that you don't deserve to stick around.
The good news is, though, like, I don't think the four schools from the Mountain West make a move to the Pac-12 in uncertainty, yes. Not knowing that they will not get a significant bump in their television rights. Whatever that looks like hinges on who else they get, though.
Remember,
because the 6 schools they currently have, they're not getting you more money than what the Mountain West is getting. It will be nominally more.
I'll say they'll get more, but it won't be noticeable. And again, there's this. Again, I feel like those schools are kind of, that's probably a better way to paint it. That's the more of the motivating factor here, is the new schools coming in. Why would they leave? Why would they leave if there's an opportunity here for this to fall apart? Because what they're on right now is stable ground. It's not great ground, but it's stable. Mountain West is stable. You're group of 5, and if you're, particularly if you're Boise State. Boise State, regardless of where they were, what conference, what they are, they were looked at as a team that was going to be in the college football playoff. They're fine. So why would they pack up and go?
Because they only get like $3.5 million in their current TV deal.
But again,
I think like the new deal will pay them up to $5 million. And so like this is what they're looking at is, all right, if the Pac-12 thinks that they can get, based off brand name that's been around for 100 years, you know, $10 million, that's a win.
Sure. But
that's a loss for Oregon State and Washington State.
But it's also a loss for Boise State if this thing falls apart.
Well, yeah, they know. Look, their assurances are they're getting help from the Pac-12. According to all the reporting, Pac-12 is going to...
They're footing a lot of bills.
Foot a lot of bills to get these schools over. So what is the loss for them? If the Pac-12 doesn't work out, they still have a landing spot. They can go right back to the Mountain West because the Mountain West will need them to come back.
Unless they backfill with what they've already said. Dellinger highlighted that the Mountain West might just backfill with other kind of lesser teams and even promote some from the FCS. FCS.
Like, what are they talking about with lesser teams?
He didn't highlight that, but he did say FCS, and that made me think South Dakota State immediately, North Dakota State immediately.
Yeah, they'd probably go the Big Sky first regionally-wise, try to see if you can get Montana State. But, North Dakota State and South Dakota State are an interesting one, too, because they have a lot of awareness in Montana State as well.
They're kings of their castles.
We like where we're at right now. Like, go to Missoula, Montana, and tell them their national titles don't mean anything.
No, God, no.
Go to you know, Fargo and tell them, yeah, these titles don't mean anything. No, they've cultivated and created a culture that appreciates the level that they play at and loves being at the top of it.
And cranks out NFL prospects.
And it's not about money.
No.
You know, they make their own money and farm their own land. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that's a jump that they necessarily want to make. I'll tell you what, if you're the Pac-12, though, and you're going, all right, how do we, if we're going to become like one of the national brands, right, what schools do you target? I mean, Tulane and Memphis are okay. You can go make a run at like James Madison, which think of what James Madison has done.
Just skyrocketed.
Football and basketball.
Yeah.
Football and basketball. They just went, all right, yep, we'll get a seat at this table. But
Top flight bowl game and an NCAA tournament run.
All of these schools, too, that if you look further east, because out west, the room for expansion just isn't there.
Yeah, there's not enough teams.
And not enough competitive universities and athletics. So, but if you look at, all right, how would the ACC, if Clemson, South Carolina, if they Clemson and Florida State leave, right? And those are the two that get their way out. The ACC, especially in the state of North Carolina, they are oddly wanting to cling on to the ACC surviving because you have North Carolina State, Wake Forest, Duke, right? You have four schools in the state of North Carolina. They want that thing to survive. You know, the state of North Carolina, if they want to hold on to it, they would say, all right, JMU, you're in Virginia. Mm-hmm. We could have three schools in Virginia. They would reach out to like a Memphis or a Tulane as well.
Because regionally it would make significantly more sense.
Yeah. And then that's where a lot of your competition is going to be coming from of when survival of the fittest starts playing out in conference realignment. This was a good start to position yourselves. But what does it look like when the ACC is in survival mode too?
And that's why if you get out in front of this, because look, Stanford and Cal, they don't want to be in the ACC.
No.
They don't.
No.
There's no world where they want to be on the other side of the country.
No.
And they have familiar ties and relationships with Oregon State, Washington State. Like, that makes a ton of sense. You throw in the fact that regionally, the new Pac-12 would be that tight. It just makes all the sense in the world.
There is one factor that we may be overlooking here, too, about why Cal and Stanford may go, nah, we're good. Next on The Fan. There is one thing that conference realignment shuffle may hinder a return of Cal and Stanford to a potential Pac-12 rebirth. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, the Pac-12 is back. And that is the big, big deal here of academic prowess and alignment.
Nerds.
Yep.
Either play sports or don't. The academic stuff's good. It's got to stop.
Well,
that's what this is signaling.
If you are Stanford, though, it does. And so if you're Stanford, they could sit there and they could look at, we're lumped in with Washington State, Oregon State, which we have been before, and that has been okay with us. That was tradition. That was history. And then we enter the academic powers of San Diego State, Fresno State, Colorado State, and Boise State, which, if you remember, any time realignment came up and Boise State was brought into the conversation, it was knocked down immediately because of the fact that they were not a research institution and their academic prowess was not high enough. Which we all sit there and we say from a sports aspect, come on, get over it. But Stanford, that actually does matter to them, you know? And it's a big deal to Stanford. If you look at the ACC right now, the only knuckle-dragger academically is Louisville. They are 195th in the U.S. News National Rankings for colleges. Every other school is in the top 100 colleges in the United States. And if you look at like the top tier of it, over half of the conference is in the top 50 universities in the U.S. News report and rankings. So that means something to Stanford. And I agree with you. If you want to be a, if you want to play sports, you should probably get over that. But we're talking about Stanford here.
I'm doing the check on the U.S. News tracker through the – so we got Colorado State, San Diego State, Boise State. Who am I forgetting?
What?
Who's the fourth team they're adding?
Fresno.
Fresno, thank you.
Yeah.
I was totally blanking. These teams or these universities current – that's weird. I can't find Fresno State at all in here.
I think that would be a problem. It's like, do you have a pulse? Yes, you can get in.
Oh, there we go. 185. Okay, so here's where they currently sit in ranking. San Diego State, 105th.
Okay, yeah. It is actually a better school than people think. It's really hard to get into now. Yeah. It used to be known as the party school.
And the surf school.
Yep.
Colorado State, 151st.
Okay.
Not terrible. Fresno State, 185th. Boise State, 332nd.
And there we go.
Ooh. Boise, really?
Mm-hmm.
Got a bunch of dum-dums out there, huh?
Mm-hmm. So, and this is where Stanford, this is what Stanford prides themselves on, right? The ACC. You want to go over the ACC? Why it was attractive to them?
Well, I mean, Duke, North Carolina.
Stanford is third.
Yeah.
Duke is seventh nationally. Cal is 15th nationally. UNC, 22nd.
And Cal is actually the highest rated public school in the country.
Virginia, 24th. Uh-huh. Okay.
Virginia Tech's actually got to be
Georgia Tech is 33rd nationally. Boston College, 39th nationally. Wake Forest, 47th. Virginia Tech tied with Wake Forest at 47. You have Florida State. Those idiots down Burt Kreischer's school, 53rd.
The biggest party school in the country.
Okay, but they're still 53rd.
They crank out a lot of doctors.
NC State is 60th.
Mm-hmm.
So you go there. 11 schools in the top 60 nationally academically. Okay. Syracuse is 12th in the conference. They're 67th, tied with Miami, who's 13th in the conference, along with Pitt. I mean, and that matters to Stanford.
Well, here's the crazy thing.
The 14th best school is 67th.
Do you know where Oregon State and Washington State are ranked?
No.
Take a guess.
11D.
Not quite.
Okay.
Washington State is 178th.
Yeah.
Oregon State is 142nd. Oregon State being that low is a little bit surprising considering they have the top nuclear program in the world.
I don't know. Do they?
No, they do.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
The nuclear reactors that they have made and designed at Oregon State are in use in more countries than anybody else in the world.
All right.
Yeah, we don't use them here in this country, but they use them all over Europe.
Well, look at this. Oregon with a big jump. I was just looking up the schools that left. Oregon went from 105th to 98th.
Hey.
That is surprising. You know?
We've got Evan chiming in on the YouTube chat. Let's stick with state schools and rename the conference, the State University Conference. Embrace the suck.
I love
that. SUC.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, go all state.
The State University Conference. I mean, I think they should just go, if you're going to lean into it.
Call it suck?
No, all of them state schools.
It'd be great, because then you could get sponsored by Allstate.
That's right. Because if you get enough states, heck yeah. Some of them aren't even states. Boise,
Fresno,
San Diego.
None of them are states.
Those aren't states. Three of the four they added, not even a state. It's a city. But the state university. God bless it. All right, this is... It's an encouraging step forward for the Pac-12 and its survival. This is not the silver bullet that I think everybody was looking for.
I don't think this is a silver bullet, but it is a chance at survival.
I think it was either join the Mountain West or have the Mountain West join you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what is happening now, is the Mountain West is joining the Pac-12.
Got the better name, at least, out of the two.
That's right.
You know, bigger.
The six-pack.
Yeah.
Awesome name. Especially for a bunch of party schools.
The X-Pac?
Yeah. You got six-pack, bro.
Bring back the DX.
Yeah, that's when that happens. When you make that change, when you start bringing them in more schools and you're not quite sure how many there are going to be.
Yeah.
Then it's the X-Pac.
All right. Hey, we got a rivalry week this week. Both the Ducks and Beavs, Huskies and Cougs, squaring off. Trent Bray is not flinching next on The Fan.